The show is back. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin, afternoon drive at your service. Kayla Colejohn on the board. We got Sweet Young Thang, Jax Gregory behind the board, and Katie Pollock on the 2020s. Hi, JP. How you doing?
Hey, you almost sang that.
I did. Well, I'm really trying to lean into the musicality of life. I don't even know what the hell I'm saying right now. I just think it's the funniest thing in the world. Don't even remember how we nicknamed him Sweet Young Thang. But that's where we are, and it just gets funnier and funnier and funnier because I'll have people come up to me and be like, why do you call that kid Sweet Young Thang? And it just, the more uncomfortable it makes other people, the funnier it is to me.
It'd also be funny if he was built like a linebacker or something and wasn't actually a Sweet Young Thing. Because he's so tiny.
He is.
He's also young, but he's very tiny. He's a very tiny human.
He's a very diminutive young man. At least stature wise. I don't know how else wise, but
yeah.
I want to give him some credit. Well, you know, don't want to write the man off. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I mean, this weather is so awesome. I'm just trying to soak every last second in the sun that I possibly can.
It's confusing weather, though. You wake up in the morning and then it's cold, and then by the time you get to the afternoon, then it's warm and you don't know what to do with it.
Don't question it. I think this is the greatest thing is, I've been working on this for a couple years now, of just when good things come, don't question it. Just enjoy every single second of it, because they're not going to last. There will be something over, at some point, the best times do end, and the BS starts again. So just enjoy the good weather.
Okay.
And don't worry about when Mother Nature is going to backhand you with her pimp hand.
Right? How healthy of an outlook by you there? I look at a good thing and I think it's got to go bad eventually. Like, it's going to go bad eventually. I'm waiting for it to go bad.
I got to tell you, and I know we talk about this every day.
Mother Nature pimp hand?
But yeah, you heard it right. I am trying to reach Jeff Phelps' level of contentment. Sounds like I'm being sarcastic when I say this. I'm not. Every time I talk, this is the McConaughey thing from yesterday's show all over again.
Yeah.
Every time, Jeff, how you doing, buddy? Couldn't be better. And here's the thing.
He means it.
There's no fib.
He means it.
There is no fib.
He's having the time of his life.
When that man says, I could not possibly be better, it's with his whole heart that he says it, with complete resounding confidence. And that's where I need to play ball at. This whole existential crisis thing, midlife crisis for the birds. Hit the bricks, Skippy. You're not doing a damn thing for me.
You're going to show up tomorrow in one of those like Life is Good t-shirts, aren't you?
Yeah.
Why aren't you a Life is Good t-shirt guy?
I
feel like that might be down your alley.
I'm a little Jekyll and Hyde for that.
Okay, yeah, because right now in the moment, you're like, life is good, appreciate everything, and then in like an hour, you're going to be like, this stinks.
Yeah.
What am I doing here? Life stinks.
I'm awful at this job. I'm a fraud. They're going to find out. Yeah, no, yeah.
I've never related to you more than right now in this moment. People will be like, oh, what happened? Last hour, you were so positive and chippy, and I'm like, I know. Imagine living with me.
I just take a slow drag off a cigarette and go, life. Life happened, chump. That's how it gets you. And you know what? It's kind of funny we're talking about this because yesterday, 2 to 3, I was scorched earth. I don't even know that I made sense. I
feel like you think you were more scorched earth than maybe you are.
I felt like a fire-breathing dragon yesterday.
I know. I could tell when I was coming in between the breaks and you're like, oh, man, I really got after it there. And I was like, I don't know that you went scorched earth. So you were mad. I'm not going to say you weren't mad.
I think it was more that I thought my anger was overriding my ability to make a greater point and tie it all together.
Okay, you got so excited to make a point, and then it just kind of...
I just got lost in the rage.
Okay.
I just, you know, when I jokingly sometimes say, what happened, I blacked out?
Yeah, you really did black out.
I have put off emotions for 7 weeks. I have 7 weeks of pent-up rage about the state of the Cleveland Browns and everything that comes with it. Their ego, their hubris, their we're going to win our way. Our process is better than yours, and their process has led to 500 football, and this year it's to 1-6. So, yeah, I think it was more just, I think I had staved off emotion and tried to stave off my own disappointment, that it was just the rubber band snapping back yesterday.
Okay, and you describing it maybe leads insight into how I didn't feel you were there in that regard,
okay.
only because I'm looking at how I felt, and I feel like it doesn't matter what was going on elsewhere. No one was going to make me feel like it was scorched earth because we'd gone through the same thing week after week after week, and I was emotionless. I really, for a sports talk radio host, I was about as motionless as I can get with the reaction and the news of everything with Deshaun. Like, I saw it coming. I think we all saw it in hindsight. We should have seen it coming a mile away. And when the Browns, when we asked the Browns to make this season even worse, they said, hold my beer, and they found a way to do it.
So it's interesting because I then listened to the station this morning, and I've listened, obviously, yesterday. And yesterday, I think people where I were was just like, all right, man, it's over. And here's the emotion that comes with the most disappointing three-year the most disappointing end result of a three-year journey. There was 11 wins last year, and I don't want to minimize that because I'm hearing a lot of people forget that they were in the playoffs last year and that a lot of the guys that are on a 1-6 team now were part of a really fun thing last year.
Yeah.
Even a year before that.
I mean, you basically ran back the entire roster.
Yeah, I mean, even a year before that, like, your low point, quote-unquote, with the Stefanski era was 7 games. I wouldn't sign up for that again, but, like, let's have some perspective, right? Then today, I heard panic creep in. And I've heard people start to have these, like, hard-hitting takes about burn this mother down. And I'm like, guys, the hard part is over. Does nobody else realize that Deshaun's injury, and I'm not trying to put this in the most cynical terms possible, I'm trying to put it as in realistic terms as possible. You're free. Like, that's what happened on Sunday. Whether you cheered or not, whether you wanted Deshaun injury, whether you root for Deshaun to fail, or whether you rooted for him to succeed, whether you were a Deshaun apologist or a Deshaun hater, the Watson wars are done. And the most tedious thing about the Watson wars were all of it, the totality of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're over. The conversation's done. All right? If you say, well, they should bring it back next year, and you're not talking about the contract instead of the person, you're bleeping into the wind.
Agreed.
There's no conversation there. He's not coming back as a starter. He's not. And I want to make it clear, because it's not about Deshaun. It really isn't. Because I tried to remain as just hands up in the air. I don't know this guy. I wish I knew him more. I'm frustrated with the football, but it's not entirely his fault. I tried to remain as unbiased as on Deshaun specifically as I possibly could, because you and I were the only guys in town trying to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody was either pulling punches. Everybody was either lying, quite frankly. There were so many different things going on, and I just wanted to be the bellwether. And I even today, I don't hate Deshaun. I don't feel anything either way about Deshaun. I'm ambivalent. I'm Switzerland. But do I feel set free from the shackles of the Watson wars? Yes. Because as goofy and as silly and as downright dumb as the Sashi wars were, and as frustrating as the Bakers were, this was so much worse.
Well, the Baker wars continued is the problem. Hell, they're still happening even as recently as last night when we watched him take on the Ravens and throw for 330 yards with a few touchdowns. Like, those are always going to play. The Deshaun thing that I find fascinating is that it did get dead and buried, but I think it got dead and buried, and now we're trying to find out a way of, like, what's next. And I think we're trying to find a way that the Browns become a winner as quickly as we possibly can. And I think that's why, like, yesterday maybe there was a lot of the reaction that you're talking about, and then today it's like we all put on our hats, our hard hats, and we're trying to get to work to try to figure out how in the hell do we get this thing to be a winner quick. We invested a lot. We got nothing to show for it. We want something to show for it.
I do like the we part of this. This is the part where the we part is kind of just marginally funny. Like, nah,
we're involved in this.
We just wasted $300 million of Jimmy Haslam's money.
Oh, I wasted 3 years of my life.
Like, that's the funniest part.
3 years of my life. Forget the money. That's a lot of time.
I just see Jimmy with, like, a furrowed brow and red-faced, and he's just looking for somebody to fire right now because, oh, I'm so mad about this Deshaun thing not working out. And the only person he has to really be mad at is Jimmy himself. And there is something poetic about that. But to speak to the big thing here, why is everyone not acting like you just got freed from the worst and most tedious situation in the NFL?
It's because we got let out of jail to then be stuck in a poorhouse.
But how?
What do you mean how?
Well, but like what's
changed? We have no idea if the coach is going to be here next year. We have no idea if the GM is going to be here next year. We're talking about trading Myles Garrett. We're talking about trading anyone of substance on this team. We have no idea what this team is going to be moving forward. We got out of prison to now go end up in a poorhouse. But like, see, we're in a little bit better spot than we were on Sunday, but it's not leaps and bounds better.
So what's wild about this is that is the most bipolar response to the most bipolar situation ever, which is, well, Deshaun isn't here.
I think he's insulting me, but I'm not sure.
No.
I think he just called me bipolar, but I'm not. Jax, do we have a ruling on that? Was I just called bipolar? Is that what happened?
No. Their mental health is it's okay to not be okay from a mental health perspective.
Yeah, I'm not okay, Nick. No, but I'm not okay.
I don't know what changed. Because here's the thing.
Because it's the reality that Deshaun, the light bulb's never going to go on, and we should have known that ahead of time, but it's never going to go on. We got nothing to show for it, and now we have nowhere to go. How are we going to build this thing back up?
Isn't this what people spent 3 years wanting? Resolution with Deshaun?
No, I wanted Deshaun to be great.
Well, yeah.
That's what I wanted.
I'd like
the easiest way out of this was for Deshaun to be awesome. That's gone.
I'd like to hit the Powerball tomorrow and be 240 pounds. It ain't happening.
It wasn't that unrealistic.
Okay.
Wait, now bipolar shot, I can go for it, right?
No. Get back to it. Like, you would rather something concrete on Deshaun as opposed to more ambiguity. And so the idea that you finally got something concrete on Deshaun.
We're still in an ambiguous spot here.
No, you still have Miles.
I have no idea where we're going.
You still have, like, this team.
No one can make a consensus on if we're building or if we're tearing this down or what a mini rebuild looks like. No one has no idea what we're doing.
But I think that's because the conversations have all been obfuscated by the $230 million elephant in the room.
We are now in the woods with a blindfold on saying, help me. We have no idea where we're at and where we're going.
All right, I got you. It took me a minute to pick up where we're going, but now
I just like the visual of being in the woods with the blindfold on. I'm thinking of the Sandra Bullock movie.
Bird Box.
That's what I'm thinking of,
So it was that and Blair Witch together.
That's who we are. We are Sandra Bullock. What was the name of the movie again?
Bird Box.
We are Bird Box Sandra Bullock right now. Doesn't make me feel good.
Okay, but she didn't have anything to defend herself with, and you've got...
We don't really either, Nick.
I'm sorry, did we not have the reigning defensive player of the year?
Who we're talking about trading for now, at 4 o'clock.
What's this
Be
wee
here
bleep.
For the conversation.
What's this wee bleep, Kemosabe?
Me and you.
We'll talk about it. But we still got Joe. Joe K still plays football real good. Miles Garrett, still good at the football.
Real good.
Yeah, right. You got, like, Denzel Ward. I mean, say something. It's still a really damn good corner. Like, I get it. Deshaun, like, guys, we've been freed. All right, and I don't mean to be that cynical because it's not about Deshaun. It's about we're free from the Deshaun situation. That weight is so tremendous. The sun is literally shining, but it should feel like the sun is shining right now. It should feel like the middle of summer and the possibilities are endless. You should feel hope today.
I get
not
this
panic.
Feels like 12 steps forward for you. I understand that. I get that. But I think a lot of us are looking for now what? Where do we go from here? And we have no answers. Nowhere close.
216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys. We got Seth Walder, ESPN Sports Analytics writer at 3. We've got Albert Breer at 520. It is a Tuesday. As the Deshaun thing's done here, I'm just curious, like, what emotions are you feeling about the Browns now, knowing the Deshaun thing is over? Because our guy, one of my favorite Browns fans in this town, called the morning show today, and he didn't just write off 2024. He might as well have written off the next decade of our lives. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. Deshaun Watson, now that the season is over for Deshaun and that there's going to be a cap charge and many things like that. But the Bonin Boys, Ken and Anthony, take their show beyond 6 to 10 a.m. Tuesday and Thursdays with their emerging podcast scene. Listen live on the 92.3 The Fan Extra channel on the free Odyssey app and 92.3thefan.com, presented by Extend Technologies, or check out every single archived episode. Make sure to check it out. That's a good podcast right there. But we're talking about the situation of the Browns. And just to go back to it, I just have heard a lot of sky is falling. And for me, like, the number one thing that sports subsides on at all point, even in media, is can you see the light?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's all about hope.
You got to sell hope.
And Deshaun, the situation with Deshaun, I really want to make it clear because I just don't feel anything personally bad or good about Deshaun. The situation has annoyed me. I've seen Browns fans turn against each other. It was too much, man. It sucked. It sucked the life out of being a Browns fan. That things like this thing did things that even 0-16 didn't do. You got to understand how bleak it felt these last 7 weeks. And so now it feels like that eclipse is gone. And so, yes, because I actually think you and I think the same way.
Well, I don't know that we do, because I like that you have, like, the sky is opening, and that's where I was yesterday.
The sky is falling now? Is that where you're at?
And, well, no, I just, if you want people to sell you on hope, what hope do I have to sell you on, Nick? That's the hard part. I think that's where maybe we are in a little bit of a disagreement here, is I can't sell you on any hope. Like, great, one part is done. One part of the equation is done, and we got there. Now we're moving forward to the next part of the equation, and that next part of the equation is what? It's just shrouded in mystery.
Well, yeah, but that's not a bad thing, because just because you might have the conversation, if somebody calls about Miles, what do? It doesn't mean you have to trade him. You don't have to do anything from here.
Right.
Right? You don't have to. If you want to tank. You want to rebuild. You want to try and retool.
Right, but why am I supposed to be happy about a rebuild that's going to take more years?
Because you went from directionless to now you get to choose a direction.
It feels like we're directionless to still directionless to me.
No. You just haven't chosen a direction yet. You couldn't choose a direction 3 days ago. Now you can. You just have to choose the right one. Now, again, that we can start to
unpeel
the onion.
We don't even know who's choosing this direction at this point, though.
I mean, it's going to be the same guy, at least from one perspective.
It'll still be Haslam and then everyone else that's underneath Haslam?
Yeah. And, like, yeah, that comes with a pack of problems or questions or whatever. But this is not the only reason that we're starting this conversation the way that we are.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has been... I realized yesterday, after I saw through the anger.
Yeah, you're seeing red.
The white hot magma that I felt in my blood yesterday, which could also be blood pressure problems and just diabetes, maybe.
Man, but, just throw anything else onto the plate.
But after... No. It's Browns football.
Yeah, okay,
it's
good.
It's not my lifestyle choices. It was Browns football, those sons of so-and-sos.
Take that, blood pressure.
But I found myself this morning listening to Peter from Perrysburg, who's a caller on the station, one of our big listeners.
That's your guy.
It's my guy, because one time on Twitter he said I was his favorite show, and he said it in a tweet to Ken, and I thought that was very funny. And I think he only said it because he was on hold with Ken and got mad.
That does skyrocket you right to the front, doesn't it?
I just thought it was funny. Like, there's nothing funnier than, like, hey, just so you know, you're good. I like that other guy better. There's just something so direct about that, especially if it's out of spite.
Being on the other end of those scenarios, too, where you're in a tweet thread, and he's like, well, I like you. I like that other guy a little bit better. It's like, well, that was unnecessary. That just didn't need to be thrown in there.
It was like the win percentage in baseball, where it's like, I felt like a 99% win percentage and then tanked. But Peter in Perrysburg was on with the morning show today, and this is the snowballing that I think absolutely makes zero sense with where we are right now.
Let's go to the phones. Peter in Perrysburg. Peter, hello.
This season is done. Next season is done with the cap hit. 26 is over with the cap hit. 26, 27, 28, we'll be rebuilding. 29, we'll be ready to open the dome at a competitive 8-9. The decade is over. This is done. We have to completely rebuild this team. I don't know how anyone can look at this situation and not see that we have to completely redo everything. We are right back to 2016 and 2017. We have completely lost any goodwill from any other franchise or ownership group. The team has lost our goodwill. The decade's over. Wake me up in the 2030s, honestly.
So,
it's done.
So this is, as somebody who's been to therapy for most of his life,
yeah,
this is textbook snowballing. It's okay. Where you start with one bad thing and you start to go into thought circles about it and starts to roll down the hill. And by the time you get to the bottom of the hill, all hope is lost, and we might as well stop being an NFL team.
And we're back to being Sandra Bullock and Bird Box.
We are Bird Boxing it like you wouldn't believe. And the reality is, one, it was wildly funny because he went from 2024 is over, and you know what, 2025, and then we might as well just wrap up, guys. It doesn't take 5 years to rebuild.
We erased a whole decade,
guys. It shouldn't take you 5 years to tank. It shouldn't.
Well, I think about what the Eagles did, right? I think about the Eagles as an interesting, how do we do this? And they won a Super Bowl, and then within 5 years, they were back in a Super Bowl with a new head coach, new quarterback, new offensive and defensive coordinator, and a lot of new pieces to that team. Brand new wide receivers. Like, they did what the Browns should be trying to do. It doesn't take forever to rebuild in today's NFL, Nick. It doesn't.
And here's the thing. The Rams did this post the Super Bowl situation where literally you saw them win a Super Bowl. Stafford gets hurt. They have the lost season. And listen,
They just decided they might trade Cooper Kupp today. So,
but again, like those are that doesn't mean they're tanking. And the reason why the Rams had hope last year is they had one of the best draft classes in history, getting Puka Nacua in the fifth round and Kobe Turner in the third round.
Yeah.
And so like it continues to come back to the worst thing you can do is the T word. Like if you go straight tanking, that's just that doesn't make any sense. That's the only bad move from here. Everything else becomes a conversation, right? And we're going to get into those individual conversations. But like this idea that rebuild in the NFL is a dirty word, no, teams do it all the time.
I know, but right now it just feels so far away. I mean, I love that you have the optimism attached to all this, but for me it just feels so far away. Like,
but
I'm looking
how
at,
far away?
I mean, you think we're going to be competitive next year?
If you got the number one pick and the quarterback was good, you have enough pieces to be a competitive team.
First off, it's a lot of ifs attached to that. If we get the number one pick, have you seen the Patriots?
That's, the entirety of sports
talk. They're not going to win. I know, but they're not going to win another game this year.
Well, yeah, okay.
Patriots aren't going to win another game this year.
All right. That also, if we track that, they went from Bill Belichick to a first-time head coach. They also changed their roster, traded Matthew Judon.
But they got their quarterback, Drake May. They did a little bit tinier than that.
Was he the third best quarterback in this draft?
This was trying to comp out for how we would go ahead and even get the number one overall pick. This wasn't even what you do with the number. Like, I'd love to be Washington. It'd be great if we drafted Jaden Daniels and then instantly we're awesome.
Wasn't he in the number two pick?
He was number two, yeah. Okay. But how often does that happen, though?
It happened last year.
CJ Stroud, we have Jaden Daniels, so back-to-back years you get one.
Caleb Williams pretty darn good.
That was number one overall pick.
Well, they're also 4-2 in a loaded.
They were a 7-win team last year, though, and they were already, I mean, people made the argument in the offseason that the Bears were in the best position to ever have a number one overall pick because they weren't actually drafting number one overall because they sucked the year prior.
Uh-huh.
They drafted because, as you know, Carolina, that was part of a trade deal.
Yeah, but
different circumstances.
But you got
very
Caleb.
Much so.
But in fairness, that was a 7-win team, sure. But that is a situation where you plugged a rookie quarterback into a veteran team, and you're winning.
I just want to make it clear then. So the hope we're having here is that you not only draft the right rookie quarterback, the rookie quarterback is awesome, and that's what we're banking on for next season.
We're putting all our chips in that basket.
I just want to make sure
you still have the bulk of a roster that won 11 games last year.
And is about to win one game this year, or three games this year, or four games this year, or whatever it ends up being.
Yeah, and that
it's just a lot of optimism.
But we agree. Well, no. We agree this is not a talent problem this year, right?
Well, we have never really dissected anything beyond it being a Deshaun problem, what exactly this is.
I
think you've gone after it being a coaching problem.
That's like very, I just like shot out like I have. No, it's a cultural problem. It's 100%.
Okay, but if we're going to bring back Stefanski and Barry, which I don't agree with, by the way, how are we fixing the culture then to turn around and have it any better than next year winning right away?
You're not bringing one of those guys back.
And I agree with that. I don't know that you're bringing both of them back, but you've said before that it's both is off the table for you.
I myself would never call for a head coach to be fired.
You see the hurdles, though?
Because I'm above those kind of shenanigans, having opinions on sports talk radio. I would never, ever call for a coach to be fired. Because I know how I was raised. And I just, I'm going to tell you right now, Progress is a proud city. But, no, I mean, like, here's the thing. It just starts with, this is we do this all the time in sports, and we just snowball like you wouldn't believe. Start with, what do you want to do at quarterback? And listen, I can't tell you that I know these jackwads know how to pick a quarterback. They clearly didn't know what they had in Baker, who continues to be a pretty darn good NFL quarterback, but maybe not a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I'd take what he did the last 2 years here. Seems like that's better than what he did in Cleveland, but I digress. They handpicked Deshaun Watson and then put him in a system that he didn't fit for 3 years. So I'm not saying there aren't things that need to be tweaked here, but rebuilds don't take 5 years in the NFL.
I agree with that.
Retools don't take 3 years in the NFL, and you just need to be super diligent and understand why you failed. And so this year you failed in part because you had a quarterback who's the situation, not the quarterback, the situation became the albatross around your neck. It might have taken your head coach with you. And by the way, it probably took your OC and your O-line coach which might be the reason why your head coach looks like a fraud now, because he might have been propped up by somebody. So start there. Start with that conversation.
I think the dangerous assumption here, fine, I'll just call it assumption. Dangerous is a little bit much there, is the idea that the offense is like built and ready to win right now if you just plug in a quarterback, and I don't agree with that.
Well, yeah,
Amari Cooper is gone, by the way, and so your number one wide receiver is Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy is a number one wide receiver with Elijah Moore. Cedric Tillman is like the 25th best wide receiver room in the NFL.
That might even be generous. That's some fan site, or that's some media site.
That's me just saying
them.
It right now.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean
throw
anything.
Throw that in there with, I don't know, what do we have at the running back spot? We have Nick Chubb, but Nick Chubb didn't look great last week. I have no idea what Nick Chubb is going to be years to come.
You're spiraling again. You've got 10
days. Our offensive line is an absolute mess right now. Like you say we have so much talent. You say we have so much talent, but I see talent on the defensive side of the ball. I don't see it the same way in the offensive side of the ball. And you know what? I like hugs, okay?
Hugs are great.
I had some of these same questions last year when it came to the offense in many respects.
Did you think they were talented last year?
I thought parts of them were talented. Okay. I did think we overrated the defense by the time we got to the end of last season.
All right,
for sure.
Because we are spiraling in a million different directions here, which is okay.
You see how this is going to work.
This is the trust tree with a nest.
Yes.
That's what we do.
Let's talk this out. Let's get there.
The number one thing that I think you need to have, if you're going to bring on a young quarterback, is you need to have a defense with top 10 upside. My feelings on the defense haven't changed. This defense is absolutely still has a lot of the talent that you need to be who they need to be, to be the best friend to a young quarterback.
Washington's defense is not very good. They don't have much of a pass defense at all. They're winning because their offense with Jaden Daniels and all the other keys, Scary Terry, all these other guys are awesome.
Yeah, so this is the danger of trying to look at the Chicago actually is applicable in this situation.
Where they have one of the three best wide receiver tandems you're going to find in the NFL?
No, because they went out and traded for Montez Sweat, because they've added a defense that has incredibly high upside. So in my opinion,
I thought it's because they drafted Rome Odunze. I thought it's because they gave DJ Moore more money than any team in or any contract in Bears history.
Follow me here. You've got a defense that I think can be the bedrock that can help keep opposing offenses off the field, which gives your quarterback a chance, as many chances as you need. The next thing you need to figure out is the offensive line. And the offensive line, you don't need to throw everything out. You might need a new O-line coach, which that feels like a sacrificial lamb you might have to make. And you probably need to go ahead and figure out the left tackle spot and maybe the left guard spot. But from the center over, you still have some good football players there. So, like, there's some pieces here. And in fairness, because you're going to say, well, they haven't looked good, you've got 10 games to find out who is next, who's here, and who are you riding with, and who are you who are you leaving behind? 216-474-0092. Existential crisis time, Browns fans. Where are you? Do you see the light? Do you see where this could go? Are you more where JP is, which is, this is probably, I don't want to say, it's not tanking, right? What word what would you use? Because I think it's like a
I liked when you did the mini, what did you call it? Mini tooling? Mini rebuild? I don't know what you
mini tooling,
what did
something
you use?
Different. All right?
Maybe it was something that was
I've
catchy.
I've been told it's fine. All right? Retooling, rebuilding, tanking. What are the Browns doing? That's next on 92.3 The Fan. Seth Walter coming up in about 20 minutes here. Nick Wilson, JP back on Afternoon Drive, and we're working through it. All right, we got this. There's a trust tree with the nest. It's time. It's time to really embrace the possibilities going forward with the Browns. And I do want to get to some of the reaction we've had on this. But you said something in the pre-show meeting today that is stuck in my brain. That you've got a pumpkin thief issue in your neighborhood around.
Oh, yeah, big news in Solon right now. Yeah, we have a... And the Solon soundboard, they just keep posting these videos, the Ring doorbell cameras of these kids coming up and stealing the pumpkins off the porch as if they're, and they're like, these parents are furious.
Of course.
Like, they're very mad. They're like, how dare they take these pumpkins off the porch? I mean, they are getting really angry about this. And we have three little pumpkins out there on our porch, and I'm looking at it. I keep waiting for the day someone steals our porch so I can send the video to Elise and laugh and be like, haha, they finally got us, right? Like, this is great. Because it's just dumb kids.
Yeah.
They won't steal my pumpkin, though. I think they're too tiny.
Does it feel Does it feel personal that they won't take your pumpkins?
I wonder why they just don't look at my pumpkins and take them and throw them as well.
What are
my pumpkins not doing?
Are they uncarved pumpkins?
No, and I wondered if that's the combination that I have against me. They're not carved, and they're tiny pumpkins. We didn't buy big dog pumpkins. Okay,
I don't think it's the size of the pumpkins that really gets people. I think it'd
be like a great basketball size to just throw off my porch and then laugh about it as they run away, the way that these kids are doing, and they're just not doing it.
I think the best way you can handle this, if you then go on the message boards and promote your pumpkins, like almost like a
got
pumpkin.
Three fresh ones for you.
What about a pumpkin thirst trap, where you just like walk around the neighborhood with one of your pumpkins, just like, man, I would hate. Like, look at this nubile pumpkin here.
These kids are ruthless, though. Yeah. And I don't know if they understand just how much of a tizzy they're getting the Solon soundboard into.
I think they know exactly how much they are, and I gotta say, community message boards. You really want to enjoy your life, because Wadsworth has a Facebook group every once in a while, right? All of a sudden that glaucoma medication's hitting in. Maybe got a harvest mule to my right. I'll just put it on and just read the comments and just send myself to the moon.
Are you a contributor?
No. Here's the thing. One, my landlord actually says that he hates the message. He's like, but stay off there, please. I don't want to see any nonsense there. And the other thing is, I don't want to ingratiate myself in the drama, because I'm enjoying too much being 3,000 miles above it and just being like, you see what Darlene said about the lady at Taco Bell?
We do it all day.
It's always Darlene. What's up, Dan?
All right, so wait a minute. So you're saying, you've got these pumpkins in the front of your house, right?
Yeah, in your
neighborhood, they're getting stolen. But
everyone is getting stolen. Mine is not getting stolen, and I'm a little upset that like my pumpkins aren't good enough to be stolen.
So have you carved these pumpkins?
No, I put no effort into them outside of buying them.
That's your reason, because they don't smash good unless they're carved. There's no point in smashing a pumpkin that hasn't been carved, because it won't actually smash. It'll just go thunk.
Am I going to carve a pumpkin to make sure that these kids know that this is what
you
can
really
throw?
Want it. Is that how hell-bent are you in being included?
Yeah.
That's the question. Do you want to be a part of the group who can complain about such things?
I would love to be a part of the group that can complain about things. I think it'd be a riot if Elise and I just got to send the Ring camera door to her and be like, they got us!
By the way, Dan, we did it!
We're one of them! We've made it!
We're included!
Dan, it sure sounds like you know a lot about pumpkin smashing there.
I got some history.
I'm just going to go ahead and send your contact information to the Solon message board, because it sounds like you might be behind this pumpkin thievery smashing ring that we got going on there out in Solon.
We don't drive for kabooming. We find kabooming near us.
That's what I'd say too. That's what I would say.
Man, don't drive to kaboom.
I'm waiting for it too, because I just got a good old pumpkin in my front. Oh yeah, I did.
You like worked hard.
And I actually, here's the thing. Never had it happen, but I'm proud of my pumpkin this year. I really put some thought into it. There's some artistry.
Yeah,
I'm
what'd you make there? A nice little jack-o'-lantern? What'd you do?
How dare you? That's so dismissive.
Is that a basic bee
that is,
move?
That is so that derivative of my pumpkin carving ability.
A little jack-o'-lantern over there?
Did you trace, or did you like actually...
Am I a toddler?
Hey.
I mean, I'm very defensive.
Am I able to answer that question, or am I just going to get flogged?
This is why kids smash these things, because they know the pride that someone like you takes into putting this.
I'm just going to tell you.
No, those are the ones you don't smash, because the people who put that much time in it, they will find you.
Yeah, they will, and they will not rest until you are till you are in jail or somewhere else.
It goes taken real quick when you put time in.
Just off the top of my head, saw a nice picture I liked online. I was like, I'm gonna do that, and then I did that. It's got big eyes, looks very scared, bit like, oh, open mouth, and then it's got hands on the side. Yeah, I did that bleep. So my pumpkin,
it's got hands on the side.
If my pumpkin were in Solon, it'd be smashed right now. That's how good my pumpkin is.
Yeah, mine's not good enough. I'd love to put like a Smashing Pumpkin song in the background of it and then send that off. How fun would that be?
Not only would it be smashed, but the worst part of it is I could see you swinging a pillowcase sack full of doorknobs about to send a message when you find the kid.
I just like the idea here that JP is going to lure Gen Alpha kids to smash his pumpkins by playing the Smashing Pumpkins, who even the generation before Gen Alpha doesn't know.
They don't know. They don't know.
Like, why is it Tonight's the Night? What is this song? This sounds like crap. This has clearly got to be the 10th best band of the 1990s. Dan, we appreciate
you're going to start a war for that comment alone for people. See you, gentlemen.
I think this has been an hour where if yesterday was my rage hour, this has been your anxiety hour. I'll come over and smash your pumpkins. If it's going to
help
you
on camera, though, I'll know it was you.
Yeah, but won't you enjoy it? Because your pumpkins then... listen, your pumpkins are good enough for me. And I want you to know that. That if you're sitting there feeling
I'm insulted. They're not even considering my pumpkins.
What if they just haven't made their way to your pumpkins yet?
Everyone else's pumpkins are being smashed.
Are we being literal there?
There's a lot of pumpkins that are being smashed. It's a real problem in the city right now. It's a real problem.
Have you put it on a map?
No, I'm not like it's a treasure chest, put it on a map and mark it.
Like almost geocaching it. Like just letting yourself know where the pumpkins, because maybe you're just in a pumpkin dead zone. Maybe you're just in like a dry spot where kids are like, well, there's no good pumpkins to smash over there because they haven't seen your pumpkins.
It's a possibility.
Let's go. Tyler in Ohio City, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, it sounds like you got the little baby pumpkins, and that's the problem.
I know.
It's kids in chagrin that they smash them down the hill for the big pumpkin roll at the end of the year, or here for Halloween. That's what it is, man, the baby pumpkins. You got to get the bigger ones. They'll steal them right off there for you.
Tyler, we appreciate you. It sounds like you've got pumpkin envy.
I want to go to this pumpkin roll thing that's going on in Chagrin Falls, though. What's that about?
Don't take that tiny baby pumpkin there. I'll tell you that right now.
You ever watch the Netflix documentary about the cheese rolls that they do, like the rolls of cheese that they throw down a hill and then people chase after them? And the big prize is like a big cheese wheel at the end of it.
Can I be
that
the
kind
person?
That's what's happening in Chagrin Falls with the pumpkins.
Can I be the person at the bottom of the hill at Cheese Roll, just relentlessly mocking the people running after cheese?
It's a serious game, man. Serious game. They get injured and everything.
Good. They deserve those injuries.
And then Myles Garrett speaks fondly of them afterwards.
That's really good.
Model citizens.
They're model citizens. So are the kids smashing these pumpkins.
Jameis wants you to know how much heart and soul they put into that cheese roll.
How I was raised, we chase that cheese. Matt, real quick, what you got for us?
Hey, you know, I've got a real good way to keep them from taking your pumpkins. They might get you 1 year, but after that, they're never going to come back. Buy a package of sewing needles and stick them in there backwards.
No.
So when they come up, just turn their little arms into Swiss cheese when they bite into 40 sewing needles.
Matt, it's not worth the $7 pumpkin.
Oh, it will be when your Ring camera goes off.
Matt woke up and chose violence.
Flawless victory.
I think you're going to spend more.
He's done that before. He's clearly done that before.
I think you're going to spend more money on the pins to put in the pumpkins than you did the pumpkins.
It's a jerry rig a pumpkin.
You're saving a life. You're saving a week off this pumpkin. Let's just be honest. The pumpkin's already dead. All right. The pumpkin. Just let the kids smash the pumpkins. It's not that serious. Even my work of art. If you want to smash my pumpkin, smash my pumpkin. No, we don't have to choose violence here. I think we're going to talk to Seth Walder, ESPN analytics writer, next on 92.3 The Fan.